Hello again, and welcome to Foreplay Radio Sex Therapy. I'm your host, certified sex therapist Lori Watson, author of Wanting Sex Again, and blogger at Psychology Today and WebMD. And I have with me Dr. Adam Matthews, my co-host, who's a couples therapist, psychotherapist, and president of NCAMFT. Foreplay is dedicated to helping couples keep it hot. Thanks for listening. Now on to today's topic. We are back, Foreplay Radio Sex Therapy, and we're going to answer your questions today.
My questions?
Yeah. Adam, no, I've already answered all your questions.
Oh, you have. You've answered that and more questions I didn't even know I asked.
Yeah.
But we're talking about listener questions.
Yes, and we've got a bunch. So let's try to get through them.
What are we starting with?
Okay. Hi, I would love to hear you guys talk about how to have good sex with a woman who has a super hard time having an orgasm or can't have an orgasm with a guy. How can men still make the experience awesome and satisfying without putting pressure on the woman to orgasm or to be disappointed when she doesn't? I know so many older women in their 40s. Is older really in their 40s? Come on, guys. In this situation. Okay, so talk about foreplay.
Talk about foreplay.
Foreplay?
Is that one of the solutions you would put in there?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. First of all, like putting pressure on her to orgasm with him. So, right? I mean, I think what he's saying or she's saying here is that she's not orgasming through sexual intercourse. All of y'all know, if you've been listening, only 15% of all women do that.
15%.
Or can do that. 15% of women have orgasms through sexual intercourse. So, yeah. I mean, I think that it's being present. Mm. You know, I think women often say, right, I think it's Meredith Chivers, the researcher, who says that for women, being desired is the orgasm.
Yeah.
You know, like when she feels his desire for her and his excitement about her, that can be very, very exciting.
And about her specifically, right?
Yeah, about her specifically. Not
about just about sex.
Getting it.
Right, but just about her specifically, that he wants to be with her.
Yeah, and she's the turn-on.
Yeah. I know what he's saying here, like, that the awesome and satisfying part. How can I get this experience to be awesome and satisfying? But I think, like, when that is the goal, like, you stop being present when that's the goal. That's when the pressure comes in.
Yeah.
And because you start saying it has to be at this level. Rather than being present and accepting what is happening, that whatever happens is going to be awesome, right? And you can just say, just getting to be with you is awesome. I recognize what he's saying. Like, I don't want to diminish that. He wants to have good sex. He wants to have great sex.
Yeah, but, and I mean, certainly if your partner never orgasms, that would be hard because you never sort of have that satisfaction of them being completely satisfied. And I understand that. But,
yeah, absolutely.
Like, I have a client right now who does not orgasm, a woman client, and that is off the table right now. She doesn't want to work on that. She enjoys sex. She wants other things to happen. You know, she wants him to be into her. She wants him to desire her and to show that in a more uninhibited way.
Right.
So that's like more important to her right now than reaching orgasm. And I know that's incomprehensible to men, but it's like, you know, he's got to take her at her word.
Well, and I think for the guy that wrote this question, I would wonder if he's actually asked her if she wants to orgasm. What you're saying, if that's an important part of the sexual encounter to her.
That's funny. I think it's a woman who wrote this. I don't know. I guess we do know who wrote this, but anyway. Because they're saying, I know so many other older women in this situation. I don't know. Anyway, okay, go ahead, Adam. You think it's a guy who wrote this, and you were going to say...
Just because the emphasis is on orgasm, so I assumed... I made an assumption. Maybe that's a bad assumption. Because, we talk about this all the time. I mean, if that's the goal, if orgasm is the goal every time, it's a difficult goal to put on sex.
Yeah.
A lot of times, especially when only 15% of women do that.
And with then, sexual intercourse. I mean, they 100% can with clitoral stimulation.
Yeah. So what you're...
Basically.
Right. And are you taking enough time, right?
Yes.
Are you, what is it, 45 minutes, right?
Yes.
45 minutes. Is it direct stimulation?
Yeah. Right, no, it's like 45 minutes soup to nuts, right?
You
know, where she is relaxed, being touched, being caressed, and then about 20 minutes of clitoral stimulation for her to reach orgasm.
Yeah. So, I mean, are you taking enough time? Are you giving...
Yeah.
And this is something... This is maybe
give her oral sex. I mean, make it good for her. Make it pleasurable.
This may be a soapbox that I have, but I find that one of the chief enemies of good relationships these days is the busyness of couples, right? And how
you got to curate your life, bud.
I curate. That is the word, right?
Less busy.
Less busy. Cutting things out. Like, people just don't. So when you talk about 45 minutes for orgasm to happen for a woman, I would wonder how many couples are actually giving themselves enough time for that to actually happen. Right?
Right.
In part because I think maybe we continue to want sex to just be this spontaneous act that happens, but we never have time for it. So it's never going to spontaneously happen if we never have time for it, if we're running here and there all over the place. So being able to do that, I think one of the ways that you help in this situation is just making sure that you have plenty of time for foreplay, for all of the things that we've talked about.
I think I've said this on the podcast before, but I made dinner for a bunch of friends, and one of the guys was like, this meat and potatoes has to be on the table at 5, and I felt all this pressure because we were running behind. And then another friend came in and said, hey, just take your time, girl. And I'm like, you know, that is sexy. You know, just that sense of just come at it at your own pace. Take your time. Relax. It's fine. We're all together. It's good.
We ain't in no rush.
Yeah. I mean, that kind of attitude, I think, is good. And caring about, you know, arousing her. I mean, I cannot overstate the way women respond to being told they're beautiful, being told that their bodies are beautiful, that you enjoy their body. That is, you know, hot stuff.
Yeah, to be disappointed when she doesn't, part of this question.
It's not a reflection of you, probably.
It's depersonalization, right? Depersonalizing it, right?
I mean, if this is like an achievement that you're trying to get there, that is going to put pressure on it. Hmm. You know, so
would you say that's for either, you know, we were talking about if this was written by a man or a woman, is it for either gender? Like, if the man is putting pressure on her to orgasm, or if she's putting pressure on herself to orgasm.
Yeah, or right? If she's putting pressure on him to orgasm. I mean, right, because sometimes men don't orgasm either.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, that kind of, again, that holding of orgasm is the ultimate, as the only way to have a good, successful, enjoyable sexual experience is for orgasm to happen. Shifting that narrative, shifting that belief that you can still have an enjoyable time together just by being present and being connected to each other.
And again, I think for women, it's, you know, being desired, and foreplay is sex. I mean, they like that. That's touching. That is sex. It isn't necessarily sexual intercourse, and it isn't necessarily orgasm. You know, like if a woman wants to have a quickie and she just wants to have sexual intercourse, but she doesn't want to have an orgasm, it's like, dude, take her up on that. That's a gift. Yeah. Okay, let's go on. Question number two.
I'm a huge fan of your podcast.
Yay,
thanks.
Thank
awesome.
You.
I was wondering if you have any good resource recommendations on female sexual confidence and sexual identity. I just listened to your podcast on sex and self-confidence. I'm self-confident in all aspects of life, including body image, except when it comes to the realm of the idea of inviting a third person sexually with my fiance. He's comfortable with the idea, and I'm having trouble understanding why I'm not. Any help would be greatly appreciated.
Whoa, this like took a turn here. I mean, this was not what I expected. Like, I'm not sure how the invitation of a third party is about sexual confidence or not.
Well, I mean, that was my first thought. Does being comfortable with that equal sexual confidence? I would say no.
Yeah, I would say no too.
That being comfortable with that is not an indication of sexual confidence. It's an indication of your sexual boundaries.
Right. I mean, people try all kinds of crazy stuff. You know, I had a couple come in who tried a third party, and I mean, it was absolute utter disaster. So I mean, you know, we're talking about monogamy, and you know, this couple was not in a pledged monogamous relationship, so for them it wasn't an issue of morality or of breaking of the boundaries. But even still, what they hadn't counted on was the lust of their partner for the other, the enjoyment of the sex for the other. They hadn't counted on having sexual jealousy. It unleashed kind of Pandora's box.
Yeah, and I think this is, we've talked about this a couple episodes ago, about the idea of what we're okay with and what we're not okay with. Mm-hmm. And the idea that I think part of what we have to be aware of is that we don't have to be okay with everything.
Right.
To feel good about sex, to have good sexual confidence, to have good sexual energy, to have a good sexual relationship with our partner, doesn't mean that we are okay with it, that we have no sexual boundaries,
mm-hmm.
right? And so I think in part—
It's like she's saying sexual confidence is, I trust that my partner will be still all mine if we do this. Like, I don't know. That is different.
I mean, I think I would want to know from her what she means by sexual confidence.
Yeah.
And what she means by sexual identity. But I mean, I think mm-hmm. knowing they just don't, the two things don't really equate to be the same thing, I think is what we're saying, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, threesomes, like, great fantasy.
Yeah. Well,
way better kept in fantasy than reality. And, you know, because I think it, you know, it is problematic for yeah. the fidelity of the couple and for what, and I just don't think people count the costs before they do it.
Yeah.
You know, just like, it can create a lot of problems.
You know, Brené Brown says something about boundaries that I think is true for sexual boundaries as well, is that people that are the most boundaried are also the most open.
They're the most
right?
free in
and they're,
some
they're
ways,
the most
right?
freer, which mm-hmm. translates to confidence, mm-hmm. right? And so I think that that's true here as well. Like, knowing what your sexual boundaries are, that is confidence.
Yeah.
Right? And that is like, and that you being able to say, hey, you're comfortable with yourself and saying, this is what I like, this is what I don't like, this is what I'm okay with, this is not what I'm okay with, right? Is that is the heart of confidence, and that's the heart of sexual confidence. And I think when you're able to say that clearly and be accepting of yourself in that, then that's even better. I would wonder if she feels like if she doesn't say yes to this, that's a threat to the relationship.
Well, that's manipulation then, right?
Yeah.
Like, if we say, I'm going to leave you if you don't want to do the crazy thing I want to do.
But he may not even be saying that, though.
He may not.
He may just
be saying, this seems really hot. And do you want to do this?
And the interpretation is the threat. The interpretation
he may not.
If I don't do this, then he's gonna walk, or he's not gonna be happy, or he's not gonna be pleased. Mm-hmm. Maybe her own stuff there. So that's why I say, like, know your boundaries.
Yep. It's okay.
Be confident. They're good.
Okay. Oh. Foreplay Radio Sex Therapy. Thank you so much to all our Patreon supporters.
Right? Yeah. Patreon is a platform where you can directly support things that you love. We really want to expand the resources that we can be able to provide
right.
to you as our listeners.
If, you know, our work touches you and our work helps you, we would be so grateful for your support. Just go to our website, foreplayrst.com, and there you can find a way to support us, and you can see our episodes and our blogs. And thank you so much, guys.
Speaking with certified sex therapist Lori Watson from Awakening Center for Couples and Intimacy. Lori, what is an intensive?
So an intensive is 12 to 14 hours of therapy all in one weekend. And it's a way to really make fast progress compared to weekly therapy. I mean, there's just so much more you can get done when you have a chunk of time.
Overcome the challenges in your relationship and your sex life. Learn more about intensives and Awakening Center's other services at awakenloveandsex.com.
At Matthews Counseling, we believe it is our job to come alongside you in whatever difficult challenges of life you are in and help you rediscover hope and to find the strength that you have to face those challenges. We strive to create a safe and comfortable place for you to explore who you want to be and identify the obstacles standing in your way. Oftentimes, the first step toward finding help is the hardest, but it can also be the bravest. Give us a call at 919-587-8018. Find us online at matthewscounseling.net. We look forward to working with you.
Okay, we've got another question that comes from the Pacific Northwest. And this is a young couple. They're in their 30s. Basically, they have tried couples therapy, but the couples therapist, for whatever reason, did not touch on sex. Oh, that makes me crazy. But okay, the woman is writing and she says, you know, I have prior trauma, an unstable childhood. I had a father who made sexual comments about everything and was addicted to pornography. I have no libido, little desire, no fantasies, but I love my husband's touch and companionship. He grew up in a very conservative Christian home where sex was not discussed. I was his first partner. He has a high libido, sexual fantasies, and a lot of frustration. Okay, I need to figure out how this all fits together, how to fix it. I want to have sex. I want my husband to feel loved. I'm in a desperate need of a sex therapist. Please help. Yes. Okay, yes, you are in desperate need of a sex therapist. We probably can't do you total justice here on a quick Q&A, but let's get to this. I think the first thing I see is that sex got entwined, right, with her father.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was like weirdly, when your parent has poor boundaries, basically it's an incestuous boundary crossing, right? You don't actually tell your kids sex jokes and stuff like that when they're young. You know, that's inappropriate. And she also knew that he was watching pornography, another boundary crossing. You know, somehow or another, it became a threat to her. And my sense is that then her own arousal, her own libido is a threat. Yeah. So she has to repress it in order to be not incestuously involved with her father. Yeah. And I'm not talking literal. I'm talking about, like, in her mind.
Yeah, it's all tangled up together. Our ideas about sex, about herself, is not separated from her ideas about sex as it relates to her father and mm-hmm. to what he did and to the those boundary crosses that you're talking about. That, right?
Yeah,
it's just all tangled up together.
Yeah, it is. And so she basically, this is libido in a woman, I think, that is obscured by childhood trauma. Mm-hmm. You know, that this is too much. And so I would say to you that probably if you can do some work on untangling your childhood issues with sex, what you'll find is an emergent sexual desire for your partner where it becomes a good, healthy thing instead of really contorted into this bad thing, mm-hmm. you know, this bad thing that happened in your childhood. And so...
Yeah, a lot of times I think people that... when they know that they have trauma, like that's mm-hmm. one of the first things, even impossibly, I think you, if I remember right and how you feel about this, may feel a little differently than I do about this, but I think that has to happen first or at most concurrently mm-hmm. with what the individual work that you do to work through those traumas, to work through issues that like this that emerge out of childhood that are clearly connected to each other, to be able to form to be able to untangle all that mess, to separate that and to be clear thinking when you go into the couple's relationship is important, I think.
You're right. I don't think it should be done first. I think it needs to be done concurrently because otherwise you're asking him to wait, right? He's already frustrated. Mm-hmm. So we're going to say, okay, go wait a couple years while she straightens out her trauma before y'all have great sex. And that could kill the marriage. Mm-hmm. So I want him to be empathically involved. I mean, I would hope for a couples therapist that is doing attachment work mm-hmm. that, you know, EFT, emotionally focused therapy, you need to get a hold of that organization in your area. Somebody who really holds both couples' needs at the same time and helps you turn toward each other and figure it out. And with trauma, I mean, he needs to understand her trauma. I mean, that's healing. When he's brought in on the trauma of what she went through and how she felt about it, he'll be much more merciful about why she's resisting. That he will depersonalize it, that it's not about her rejecting him. And then his softness and care and empathy actually becomes an inducement for her to be sexual with him. I mean, it all works together.
Yeah, yeah. But I think that, to me, the just slight difference is just working – is just taking understanding that your thoughts about sex and your feelings about sex are all that it's held within you, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's that stuff that we've talked about between people in mm-hmm. in a relationship, but when she's talking here, like there has to be some work that's done on those childhood issues, right?
Yeah, and maybe yes, that could be individual, but clearly the relationship is already frustrated, so they need to have help together.
Yeah, and I think she says two things here that I think are a little. She says she has no libido, little desire, no fantasies, but I love my husband's touch, and I want sex. I think those, like, I would say it's not that she has zero desire or zero libido or zero fantasies, right? When to say both of those things, those are wanting touch. Right, is libido wanting to want sex? I think is a move toward in that direction. So I would say that I don't think it is that her tank is fully at zero. I think she's perceiving it. I think she's perceiving it as at zero.
Maybe she's in comparison to his desire. Also, wanting to want sex. I mean, a lot of women want sex when they're having sex. Mm-hmm. So it's not their starting place. Yeah. It's the middle of the moment place. It's as they're having sex, they want it. So maybe, you know, he starts touching her, she gets aroused, and then she's like, good, I want it now. Mm-hmm. And then maybe she can loosen up some in terms of talking, you know, being present. I'd say, you know, keep your eyes open. Remember, it's your husband, you know, because that sometimes stops the memories from coming, right? When you close your eyes, memories can be more intrusive. Mm-hmm. And even if it's just remembering walking in on your father using porn or masturbating or something, ugh, you know, keep your eyes open so that you're with your husband. You know, try to deal with those kinds of intrusive memories through mindfulness, you know, being very present. I like this new mindfulness thing I'm doing. I'm breathing through my feet.
I found it.
Yeah. It's totally cool. Take a breath in and just feel the air come in your feet. Mm-hmm. Blow it out, and you feel the air exit your feet. You can do it anywhere, and it's like an instant de-stressor, like in an anxious situation. I've done it in session with couples who are in high conflict. Mm-hmm. You know, every once in a while, I just start breathing through my feet, and I'm like, ooh, instant calm. And it's a way to deal with intrusion, mm-hmm. obsessive compulsive kinds of intrusive thoughts. Yeah.
I feel like that's a smooth jazz album called Breathing Through Your Feet.
Okay, do your thing. Do your thing. Do your rap thing,
no,
Adam. Come on.
I refuse.
Okay. We've been told. We need to go on.
The other part to this, too, is that he has issues he's probably going to need to work through from his childhood as well.
Yeah, I mean, no kidding. Very conversative Christian family.
So the religion, any
sex
kind of...
Sex is not discussed.
Yeah, so I mean, there's going to be stuff, his ideas about sex, his adult ideas about sex are going to be tied to some of that as well that were formed growing up in that environment.
What we don't talk about is shameful.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Right? So it gives a message that somehow or another this part of their life is shameful.
Yeah, the religious part is not the it's the ideas about sex that emerged from a religious upbringing that can kind of maybe be hindrance in their relationship. Mm-hmm. So being able to examine that and understand that on his side as well, when she talks about how this all fits together, like that's going to be important as well for them mm-hmm. to explore. It sounds like she is feeling like it's all on her, right, because she's the low desire partner. But it's really they both need to work on their upbringing about sex, the messages that they heard, and sharing that with each other so they can understand more about how they're interacting with each other.
They got a lot of work. They're young. You know, they've only been married like 10 years. This is so workable. This mm-hmm. is totally workable. I just encourage you, get with a sex therapist, get with a couples therapist who knows something, you know, about attachment.
Mm-hmm. Number four. This is interesting. I ain't gonna lie. All right,
Adam.
I have a happy marriage of over 20 years, but I have lately had some distress. These days, many women wear leggings and yoga pants out in public, and I find them incredibly sexy.
Doesn't everybody?
Okay. sometimes I will even excuse myself at a restaurant to masturbate as I am so aroused. So this is not all men, ladies. Not everyone does this. So to the questions, am I a freak? How can I control this? Is this a fetish? First of all, I would say not a freak, but something that needs to be managed a little bit better.
Yeah, I think I'm not a guy, but I imagine it's very arousing to see women all over the place in, you know, yoga pants. And I mean, no kidding. They shows off her form, her great backside, her ass. It's good, you know, but if it arouses you to the point where you got to go masturbate in a restaurant, that to me probably does border on fetish.
Yeah.
You know, and a fetish is often not about a person. Mm-hmm. It's about objectifying a part, which is really different. So, yeah, I mean, it could be. I'm not saying it's freakish, but there's something here that is different than what I think most men enjoy about seeing yoga pants everywhere.
Yeah, I think the ability to
yoga
say
pants,
that's attractive versus I can't control this. I have to go do something is a little bit, especially in public, is a little bit over that line of where you need to kind of rein that back in.
Yeah, you need to think about that.
Yeah.
Or I don't know if it's reining it in so much as exploring what is going on with you.
Oh, yeah, that's a better way to put it for sure.
Like really analyzing this and seeing what it is.
The how do I control this part? I mean, I think that's what you're talking about.
Yeah,
that's the answer to that question, is exploring what this really means. What's the function of what's happening there? That may be some individual therapy. That just may be figuring out what's that mean. What's the meaning of that? Like, why is it at that kind of level for you?
Yeah, and I mean, this person says he's been married for 20 years, and he's just lately had distress. I mean, people who have fetishes, what I would ask you is to be really honest with yourself. Have there been other things that have aroused you in this sort of way? I mean, it isn't just suddenly women are wearing yoga pants and you can't, you know, control your own sense of desire. Fetishes come from a different part of the self. So I would say probably you need to do some work to see if, you know, what else has happened inside and how you've responded to other things too.
And what's changed if it's lately, when it started?
Yoga pants have been around for a while.
Yeah. What changed in
10
life?
10 years at least. Come on.
Yeah. But what changed in life for you? Was there new anxieties that were created in other places where they weren't before?
Mm-hmm.
Is there any kind of loss there? And is he able to talk about it with his spouse? If he's been married for 20 years, has he mentioned this to his partner? Has he explored it with her? Or is it something that is a shameful side that he has mm-hmm. it, that he's kept from her? That's secret.
Right. This doesn't feel like something that is about desire. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, it'd be different if he were 18 and saying, you know, I went to the grocery store and saw all these women in yoga pants and I came home and masturbated. I mean, that's different.
Yep.
This is a guy who's been married for 20 years, so he's, you know, minimally 40s, 50s, and suddenly, you know, having an issue that there's something going on. Yep. I mean, we think it's sexy. We get that. Right?
Right.
Right. Okay.
All right, everybody. Thanks for writing in. Keep those emails coming.
Thank you. This is 4Play Radio Sex Therapy.
You can now call in your questions to the 4Play question voicemail. Dial 833-MY-4PLAY. That's 833, the number 4, play. And we'll use the questions for our mailbag episodes.
Hey, help us stay on top here at 4Play. We'd love it if you would subscribe and share it with your friends. And please take 1 sec and rate and review us. Thanks so much.
All content is for entertainment purposes only and should not be considered as a substitute for therapy by a licensed clinician or as medical advice from a doctor.